Welcome to episode 162 of Behind the Mission, a show that sparks conversations with Sacramento trusted partners and educational experts. My name is Dwayne France, and each week I'll be having conversations with podcast guests that will equip you with tools and resources to effectively engage with and support military service members, veterans, and their families. You can find the show on all the podcast players by going to sacramento.org/podcast. Thanks again for joining us on Behind the Mission. Our work and mission are supported by generous partners who also believe that education changes lives. Our partner this week is PsychArmor, the premier education and learning ecosystem specializing in military culture content. PsychArmor offers an online e-learning laboratory that's free to individual learners, as well as custom training options for organizations. On today's episode, I'm having a conversation with Josie Beats, the program manager for the Department of Defense Spouse Education and Career Opportunities Program, or SECO, which provides education and career guidance to military spouses worldwide. Josie is a military spouse herself and a lawyer by training, with previous positions at organizations such as United Through Reading, Stop the Addiction Fatality Epidemic, the President's Management Council, and the Tennessee Bar Association. You can find out more about Josie by checking out her bio and our show notes. Let's get into my conversation with her and come back afterwards to talk about some of the key points. Josie, great to have you back on the show, and this time to talk about military spouse education and career opportunities. Before we get started, it might be good for the audience to hear why this topic in particular is such an interest for you and why you've really shifted to this new role.
Absolutely, Dwayne. It's great to be back on the podcast. I'm a fan. I listen. So it's always great to hear our resources be put forward behind the podcast. This issue is important to me personally. I'm an Army spouse who has pretended like I know how to put a career together for the past decade and a half. And one of the things about being in the Spouse Education Career Opportunities Office after struggling in my own career journey is the idea that if you complain about something enough, they will put you in charge of it. And so spouse employment has been an intractable issue for our community forever. The other day, I was looking at a Bureau of Labor Statistics report from 1981. About the unemployment rate of military spouses. Being a part of the network of support to make an easier way for spouses looking to have jobs or careers is a really valuable career step for me personally. And I'm excited to be a part of this great team.
Yeah, as you were talking about that, I was thinking back to that. It's been a problem for years. Wait, no, decades. No, like I'm even thinking back to the stories about Vietnam days and post-World War II. Where women are now emerging into the workforce and women in the military, so to speak. But even again, personally, individually, joining the military is a sacrifice for someone. Joining a military family as a choice for a spouse is it often is a sacrifice. I think back to when my wife and I met, she had a career in law enforcement. She stopped that career in law enforcement to be my wife, move, go to Germany, can't do all of the different things is being a military spouse. And being in the military, all of that encompasses a level of sacrifice. But military spouses especially, we know, is a sacrifice in career and education opportunities.
Yeah, you know, and one of my goals is to make sure that spouses like your spouse don't have to stop providing an environment, both through collaboration with our private partners, creating supports within DOD, so that you don't have to make that hard choice, right? Because we know from the data that spouses who want to work, who get to work, recommend military service to others. We know that they have a more positive view on staying in the military. And one of the biggest differences, Dwayne, from that Vietnam era that you were talking about to now, and even from when I was introduced to military family life in 2008 when I married my soldier, is we see family readiness as a part of the conversation of military readiness more and more. It doesn't mean we don't still have a lot of work to do to make sure it's a priority. And that's why we have spouses advocating for themselves and through partners like NMFA and MOA out there beating the drum that families are important too. But we really have changed the narrative. And I think sometimes it's important to recognize that and be like, we do have it a little bit better than the spouses who went before us, who also, by the way, paved the way for this progress through their advocacy and the work that they've done within their community.
I think that's a really valuable point. Obviously, we stand on the shoulder of giants. This is how we learn our lessons. You've learned by experience, probably one of the hardest ways. Then that idea of military spouse employment is just really family readiness is part of military readiness, which is really part of national security. The stability of the family working in the economy, that impacts retention. As you mentioned, that impacts whether my wife were to recommend to her cousin if their family joins the military and so on, that if there is a challenging or a negative experience, that you're right, it would mean that less people are being exposed to positive aspects of the military.
Yeah. And that's such an important part, right? We all know the statistics, less than 1% serve. And I thought something like 10% of military kids go on to serve in the military. And we want more people to be involved in that service. I always joke with my husband that he needs a more diverse workforce to make him a better person. I personally need more women to work with him so that he's not a jerk sometimes, right? And so, you know, to provide a better, fuller experience, we're a safer nation when we do that. And so to enable that work, we've got to provide some of these supports. We've got to provide some of these pathways, particularly for spouse employment. And, you know, it's one of those things where I know through this conversation, even today, it's not just getting jobs, right? It's talking about healthcare. It's talking about childcare. It's talking about flexibility in workforces, a new conversation we've had since post-COVID times when it comes to remote work and telework and such. All of these things are tied up in how we talk about spouse employment today, the types of jobs that spouses are interested in, the types of services we offer at the Spouse Education and Career Opportunities Program, and all of it's tied together.
Yeah, and I can see, especially now in this role that you're in, and I think there's a lot of discussion around military spouse education and employment, and then to have it coming from the DOD, from the outside perspective. I've been retired from the military for 10 years now. Obviously, it's a significant topic, been widely discussed, but much of that effort's been driven by military spouses themselves, as you mentioned, but also organizations like Chamber of Commerce, Hiring Our Heroes, non-DOD entities. Military spouses have always been an important part of the DOD and recognized as such to varying degrees, maybe. But your role as a program manager within the Office of the Secretary of Defense, I think indicates a different level of focus, and that's really important.
Absolutely. I think it's a reflection of the fact that the SECO program is what we call it, because, right, we got to have an acronym, lives within the Office of the Secretary of Defense because it is recognized that this is important for military family readiness. We're in the broader Military Community and Family Policy Directorate. And under that, we also have the Office of Special Needs. We have childcare. We have Military One Source, a suite of military family support things, so to speak. But by elevating something like spouse employment to the OSD level, you really see the values that the DOD is trying to express there. The SECO program was founded in 2013. And so we have been around for a while. What it looked like when we started and what it looks like today is very different. We have adjusted with the times and tried to provide more relevant resources for spouses, right? Everything we offer, which I'll talk a little bit about later, is virtual, right? So it's online, it's a call center, it's email chats, webinars, go on and on. We work closely with installation service providers who do military spouse employment readiness, to make sure that we're communicating our resources to them, to make sure that they have the most up-to-date information on not just what we offer, but the trends that are going on out there, try and communicate with them so that we're really creating an ecosystem of spouse support. And I point that out only to say that we are so grateful for our nonprofit and private industry partners like Hiring Our Heroes, American Corporate Partners, some of the other folks out there doing the same work in a different way, in an augmented way. We work with them a lot to make sure that we are collaborating in a positive way for spouses, not only so that we're not duplicating efforts, because honestly, I hate a Navy metaphor, I'm an Army spouse, a rising tide, right? And the rising tide lifts all boats and many hands make light work and all of the other things that say we need all hands on deck to make sure that we're attacking this problem. So I love my private industry partners. They can do some things that we can't do. We are the DOD. We don't turn corners too quick. And so we really rely on that relationship to make sure that we can be nimble to the needs of the military spouse community.
I appreciate how you identified how long it's been. I'm thinking back, and I even alluded to, I retired in 2014. And so especially veterans, their concept of the DOD is sort of like frozen in amber from when they were in. And I work with colleagues who served in the early 2000s. Like I've got a colleague that's been out of the Marine Corps for 20 years now. But in his mind, the military is still the mid-2000s. My mind, it's still the mid-2010s. And I think it's very important for people to know this program is there. The DOD doesn't, nothing happens unless there's a program and someone's in charge of it, right? But it's sort of that idea of like, well, where has this always been? Well, it's been around for 10 years.
Yeah. And I'll share with you my story, which is, like I said, I married my soldier in 2008. I am a lawyer by trade. I walked into the Army Community Services at what will remain an unnamed post and said, hey, can you help me with my federal resume? And they gave me an application to the exchange. And it was just one, it was like, okay, level set expectations. But also I was embarrassed. And I guarantee you, I have never set foot in an ACS office for employment support since then. And when I was in the spouse community and advocating for myself and my fellow lawyers, as I came through my career, when CECO was launched, I was like, been there, done that, seen that movie. I don't need a part of that. Like I said, it's a different CECO today than it even was when it launched. And so one of my goals, one of my passions is actually, how do I recapture spouses like me who maybe tried to access services and they weren't exactly how they thought they would be? And so have been like, deuces, I'm out. They're not coming back to this, to the service, which is why communication is so important, right? And I talked a little bit about our friends in the nonprofit sector and the private industry. They are so good about communicating with the spouse audience. And a lot of that is because they're serving spouses with spouses, right? Another concept really important to me, nothing with us without us. And we are doing that at DOD as well, right? I'm a military spouse. I'm the program manager for CECO. There are a lot of military spouses in our directorate. Our partner who actually staffs our call center has a metric where they have to have at least 30% military spouses serving as career coaches. And they surpass that mark monthly. But we got to communicate better, right? And I think we got to recognize some things DOD is good at, like, you know, building aircraft carriers, and some things they are like not great with, which is communicating with Gen Z. One thing I am working on, you know, all the projects that we have going on, one thing I'm really excited about is refreshing our communications and figuring out how we can get out there. I am proud of the communications that we have out there. If you go to our either Spouse Education Career Opportunities page on Facebook or our Military Spouse Employment Partnership page on LinkedIn, they don't look like a DOD comms situation, right? They look and feel different. We know it's because we have a different audience, but still, like, the work is never done. The other thing I want to mention, Dwayne, is, you know, spouses are a renewable resource. And what I mean by that is, there's new ones every day, right? Service members keep marrying people. And so we got to keep serving these spouses. And so we have the struggle of, right, reaching bitter old spouses like me, who might have had a poor experience 15 years ago and are having a hard time giving someone a second chance. And we got to reach a new spouse who's maybe early career, probably doesn't even Google things, but just searches for a video on TikTok to figure out how to do something. And how do we do that is not just a challenge for the CECO program. I think it's a larger challenge for the DOD, but we're definitely committed to working with our communications and contracts and partners and pushing them so that we can make sure that we're getting in front of spouses as much as we can.
I think that conversation about communication is very important. I'm thinking about if you or any program doesn't manage how it's communicated, the message is still going to get out there. And usually in the DOD, it's through the service member themselves. And so if my first sergeant or flight commander says, if the military wanted you to have a spouse, they would have issued you one. And that's how I'm communicating. And that's the message coming from the DOD. Then that's the message that spouses are going to get, like you said. And that's what turns eager, young, new spouses into bitter, long-term spouses. But I think that's the idea of, it's not just communicating to the military spouse community. It's really communicating to the service members, the force to say, this is important.
Absolutely. And I think that is a great segue. I want to talk a little specifically about what we offer at CECO, right? And so if you think of spouse education and career opportunities as an umbrella, under that umbrella, we have two categories of things. One, we have services we offer to spouses, and then services we offer to support spouses. The services we offer to spouses are things like the My Career Advancement Account Scholarship. It is a $2,000 per year with a $4,000 cap for spouses of E1 to E6. That category was expanded from an E5 limit and an O2 limit last year. And so I like to talk about it whenever people will give me a chance, because those E6 spouses and those O3 spouses sometimes haven't gotten the message, right? So that's great. Certifications, licensing, it can go toward an associate's degree. We also have what we call our career center. And that is actually, think of it like a call center, but it's all career coaches. All of them have a master's degree or above and at least one certification in career readiness, leadership, et cetera, et cetera. And they do one-on-one coaching with spouses. And it can be anything from, I want to apply to grad school and I don't know what to do about my personal essay. Or it can be, I want to tap into federal employment and I want to do our federal employment career coaching package to walk me through the steps of what that means and how I can break into that really difficult and complicated workforce. We also do obviously webinars and events and such, but that career coaching piece in particular is something that I find when I talk to spouses they don't know about. I have friends who have paid for career coaches and I'm like, dude, Areno, like free service, please come and use it. And I see the metrics, I work with our coaches, they are phenomenal. And that's an exciting piece. We put on events. Earlier this year, we put on what we called the Federal Interagency Military Spouse Career Expo. This is something that was actually started by, talk about a group of amazing folks, a group of military spouses at USDA, believe it or not. USDA has a really strong military spouse employment program. And they started we call it FIMC, again, an acronym. They started 2 years ago, and then we partnered with them this year to provide logistics support through the contracts that we have that support the CECO program. We had 1,300 spouses register. We had more than 700 spouses show up, which I don't know if you've put on any virtual events, but that's a phenomenal show up rate. Later this year in May, we are putting on the Virtual Military Spouse Symposium, which will be an array of webinars and such that talk about primarily employment, but also family wellness and self-care, right? There's a whole conversation going on out there about burnout, and military spouses are not immune and might, in some might say, be more susceptible to burnout. And so we really want to provide some tools to spouses through that spouse symposium, which will happen over 3 days in May. We will also be putting on a career fair as part of that later in the month, using the early sessions to get spouses ready to interact with employers later that month. So that's our spouse-facing piece, right? And we have a lot of resources on myceco.militaryonesource.mil that you can find. It's so deep, right? It's, again, one of those things is we have so many resources. Can I find what I want? There's an incredible search feature on there. That's all I have to say. Use the search feature. The other side that I was talking about is things that support spouses. And through that, I mean our military spouse employer partnership. We work with employers to bring them in as a partner to hire military spouses. We do it. It's all for free for the employers. We go through a vetting process, right? Because again, we are spending American tax dollars on this program. And so we want to make sure that we're doing appropriate legwork to make sure that all of our employers are on the up and up. But our employers then have access to a database of spouses who are registered on myceco.militaryonesource.mil. And can search for spouse talent. They can post their jobs there. They can interact with spouses through the platform. We also share a lot of information with our employer partners who participate on the platform. How many spouses went to this job? Which spouses came and looked at my profile? And then we have specialists that work with the employers to say, okay, how do we engage with them? We've grown the Military Spouse Employment Partnership from, I think, 70 the first year to 700 last year. And we're placing an increased focus on engagement. We don't want someone to just come and be on our list. We want an MSEP partner to come in and be engaged in the program, be engaged with spouses. One way they do that is we have weekly sessions on LinkedIn, about 15 minutes long, where you can learn more about an MSAT partner. One of the things that is so exciting about all of these tools actually came from our Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense, Mrs. Barron, from when she was at USAA. I watched her on a presentation. Again, I said, I'm an old spouse, so I've been around a minute. She said, we got to use these resources so that DOD doesn't reallocate this money and spend it somewhere else, right? And this, I think, is, I don't think there's any danger of that happening. The DOD and everyone up and down the chain sees the benefit in the CECO program and in the outcomes that we have for spouses. We've just got incredible stories about how spouses have been felt supported through the program. But again, we got to use it. We got to get out there. And so I really encourage everyone to check out those sites and those programs.
I really like that concept of, yes, supporting the military spouses themselves. What is the practical things that can be done, both for those looking to emerge into the workforce, people like you who have a very geographically limited license as a lawyer, or me as a therapist, or my wife, very geographically focused law enforcement certifications. How do you navigate those kind of transitions as you're moving around? So I think that's really important. And in my mind, yes, that's one of the things that, of course, that's what a military spouse employment program does. But then this idea of leveraging really the value and the status of the DOD to say, industry partners want to partner with an organization like the DOD. And this emerging idea of corporate social responsibility, hiring military spouses isn't just a good thing to do, it's also good business.
Yeah, it's good business. And it's good business in support of national security. Just like you said earlier, right? We know, because we see it every day, how a stronger military family creates a stronger soldier, airman, marine, guardian, et cetera. And so we really try and drive that message home to our employer partners that this is good for you. This is, like you said, good business because you're tapping into some incredible talent, right? We know that spouses are more educated than their civilian cohort. We know that they are more loyal, not more loyal, but they're service minded because of the nature of their families. There are a whole bunch of benefits that a military spouse brings to the table that totally outweighs some of the quote unquote drawbacks that some employers sometimes have hesitation to hire a spouse, poor moving around too much, scheduling issues. We drive that home that this is a good business decision that is in support of our national security by supporting a military family. You can do well by doing good by hiring a military spouse.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. You mentioned the website before, but if you could share again or any other places where folks can learn more about the program.
Absolutely. So we are at myseco.militaryonesource.mil. You can find us on LinkedIn at the Military Spouse Employer Partnership. If you go to that page, there's also a LinkedIn group specifically for military spouses called the Mil Spouse Career Network. We're on Facebook at the Spouse Education and Career Opportunities, and we are accessible in all of those ways and would love to hear from spouses. We're always interested in feedback, how things are going, if they've had a good experience, if they've had a bad experience. We want them to let us know because we know that we can course correct and continue to provide high quality services to spouses.
No, that's great. I'll make sure that all of those links are in the show notes. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having us, Dwayne.
Once again, we'd like to thank this week's partner, PsychArmor. PsychArmor is the premier education and learning ecosystem specializing in military culture content. PsychArmor offers an online e-learning laboratory that's free to individual learners, as well as custom training options for organizations. I'm glad to have been able to host Josie on the show once again. If you're interested, she first appeared on the show to talk about another organization she's passionate about, United Through Reading, an organization that connects military families who are separated due to deployment and military assignments by providing the bonding experience of shared story time. The link to that episode is in the show notes. But in that episode and in this one, you can tell that supporting military families is a passion for Josie. And it's a passion for many military spouses and service members and veterans and employers, as it rightly should be. One of the points I'd like to reflect on is something that comes up often when we talk about military spouse employment. It's how important supporting military and veteran spouses is to the security of our nation and the strength of our military. I know that this can be somewhat of an esoteric and intangible argument when it comes to giving reasons to support military spouses. It's not something that directly adds to the profit margin or even something that can be measured in some way. It's more like if employers hire more staff in a particular community, it contributes to the economy of that community, which has long-term benefits for both the community and the employer. But this is on an even bigger scale. The satisfaction and opinions of the service member's family has a significant impact on recruitment and retention of our nation's service members. And that has a direct impact on the readiness of our military to provide all of the things that it does, from protection of our nation's interests worldwide to responding to natural disasters in our local communities. Thinking back on my military career, my family had a significant influence on whether or not I joined and which branch I joined through my parents, to assignments that I accepted or pursued to the point of when I chose to retire, which was a decision that was made with my spouse. And me deciding to retire at 22 years instead of 25 years didn't make that much of a difference in the grand scheme of things. The Army kept rolling along, of course. But multiply that decision to stay or go, to join or not, by thousands, and the influence of family members is significant. If a service member loves the military, but looking at things realistically, and if their spouse is a lawyer, for example, and has a burgeoning career in a particular location that would be derailed if a permanent change of station comes up, then the service member would have to make a serious decision to stay in or leave the military. Sure, that happens with other occupations. If someone is transferred to the sales office in Seattle from Boston, for example, but in the military, it's standard practice for that to happen, not a unique situation. So while the discussion of supporting military spouses is supporting the security of our nation is somewhat of a broad concept, it is definitely an important one. The other thing that I'd like to reflect on is how Josie talked about how the situation related to supporting military spouses in education and employment is better now than it was, and that it's due to the advocacy of previous leaders going back decades. It's still not where it needs to be. There can sometimes be a back-in-my-day comparison that often comes up in these conversations, as in, you don't know how good you have it, you should be grateful for the way that it is now, and not complain so much, like we used to walk uphill to school both ways in the blinding snow. But just because things were bad then and they're less bad now doesn't mean they're good now. We should not have to settle for being grateful for the least worst option. It's like as if we're only getting kicked in the shin twice a week now instead of six times in the week like it used to be. Getting kicked in the shin is still bad. At the same time, as Josie pointed out, those who have been in the game a long time have a tendency to think that since it was bad then, it's going to be bad now. Whatever improvements are being made are insignificant and impractical. I had a colleague recently who was leading a workshop on strategic planning, and someone in the group was sharing a new initiative. And my colleague said there were some veterans in the back with their arms crossed saying, "That will never work," and "There's nothing here that we haven't tried before." We also have to be open to the idea that things might change. New ideas are valuable and worth pursuing. If we're going to change things, we need to consider new ways of doing old things and not get stuck in the idea of the good old days, because the good old days weren't always good, as the song goes. As Josie said, the DoD doesn't turn corners very well, but when it does turn corners, it does so decisively and with a lot of resources. So if you work with service members, veterans, and their families and are interested in what the DoD is now doing to support spouse education and employment, check out the links in the show notes. So I hope you appreciated this conversation with Josie. If you did, we would appreciate hearing from you. If you do have some feedback, let us know. Drop a review in your podcast player of choice. Send us an email at info@psycharmor.org. We're always glad to hear from listeners, both feedback on the show and suggestions for future guests. For this week's PsycArmor Resource of the Week, I'd like to share the PsycArmor course, 15 Reasons Why to Hire a Military Spouse. Employers are always looking for untapped talent pools. One talent pool that can be overlooked is the diverse and highly educated group of military spouses. Take this course to learn the top 15 reasons to hire a military spouse. You can find a link to the resource in our show notes. So thanks again for taking the time to listen to this episode. Make sure to take a look at the show notes, which you can find in the podcast app, as well as on the PsycArmor website at psycarmor.org/podcast. While you're there, you can find hundreds of online training videos delivered by nationally recognized subject matter experts who are all committed to educating the non-military community about military culture. All of these courses are free to individual learners. You wouldn't be listening if you didn't care, and it's that curiosity and passion for supporting service members, veterans, and their families that we want to encourage and increase. Come back each week for another conversation and make sure to engage with PsycArmor on social media to let us know what you thought about the show. I'd like to express special thanks to Operation Encore and Navy Seahawk pilot Jerry Maniscalco for our theme song, Don't Kill the Messenger. This show was produced by Headspace and Timing, and all rights to the show remain reserved by PsychArmor. Much appreciation to the team at PsychArmor that makes this show happen. Carol Turner, Vice President of Strategic Communications, who keeps me on track and is an outstanding guest coordinator, and support and transcript by Emma Atherall. Feel free to share the show. In fact, we request that you do, but make sure to let folks know where you heard it. Join us next time for another great episode, and until then, stay aware, get educated, and be well.